Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 57 of the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I literally can't even believe that I'm on episode 57. It's pretty wild. Since I launched the podcast late last February, I am just ecstatic at all the different people that I was so fortunate to connect with, and I'm going to be wrapping up this season in mid-December, and then I will come back with a whole new season 2 in February. So if you have any suggestions as to who I should interview or topics I should discuss, or if I should do some solo episodes, I would so appreciate that feedback. Now, for today's episode, I interview Lauren Sinez. She is a podcaster, a certified nutritional practitioner, and she's a health coach. And in particular, she focuses on PCOS because she actually has PCOS. And she was able to really transform her life and take control of her life through a lot of hard work. But she was able to do that, and she wants to help others, you know, free themselves of that pain. So what she does is she has guided nutritional coaching, she has personalized and sustainable diet and lifestyle recommendations, and of course she incorporates mindfulness, because as we all can agree, it's about the mind, body, and soul. It's kind of encompassing it all to really live that healthy lifestyle. Lauren talks a lot about how the key to a healthy life is basically that sustainable change that feels good and is different for each and every person, and that's why she does these one-on-one coaching sessions. I learned so much about PCOS, and I didn't realize how common it was and how the side effects are actually pretty common. So, for example, people with PCOS, they really struggle with digestive problems, adrenal fatigue, thyroid dysfunction, disordered eating, acne. And these are things that, you know, added up cumulatively, that's really hard to deal with on a daily basis. So I just found this episode to be so inspiring and so informational. And I hope that you guys all do too. And just a reminder, Beauty Counter really helps support my podcast. Being an affiliate for them has really helped me obtain funds that, you know, really are helping me sustain this podcast and all the, you know, kind of residual fees and extraneous expenses that go along with running a podcast. So if you shop my link, I will include that in the show notes. And let's, of course, jump into today's episode with Lauren Sinez. Hi, everyone. And before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with, I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding, so you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically
a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Jean actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions. And it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies. But because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook. And again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18 and make sure the BYOK is capitalized. And Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Laurence, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course. Why don't you give everybody a brief background about yourself before we jump into your journey?
Sure. So I basically started out not in the health field. Started out in journalism and tourism, and basically encountered a lot of health problems, which led me to really figuring out what was going on with my health and working with other health practitioners and really just being my own guinea pig for a few years. And that really changed a lot in terms of career and my passion and my interests. And I discovered nutrition. I became passionate about it. I found a school. And long story short, I'm a health coach and a nutritionist now, and I absolutely love it. So I definitely think that my struggles brought me to where I am today, and it really showed me what I can do and how I can help others. So yeah, I'm just in a constant learning process now. I'm addicted to learning as much as I can around health and just supporting women going through similar things that I went through. And I'm super grateful to have found this journey and this path because I absolutely love what I'm doing now.
So what exactly are you diagnosed with? And how did you kind of, I guess, learn that you were going through this?
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's the most common hormonal disorder in women of reproductive age. It's basically defined as high androgen, so those are male sex hormones, and chronic anovulation, or irregular periods. So for me, I had really bad acne when I was growing up, and then in my early 20s, and nobody could really figure out what was going on and how to stop it, which was really bizarre. And I also started to have irregular cycles as well, some hirsutism, so that's basically hair growth in places that you're not supposed to see it, so like belly, face, even just more excess hair growth in the normal areas. So I noticed that too. Even like mood irregularities, like anxiety, depression, all of this going together, some hair loss, so thinning hair. And for me, it was basically, I don't think I really would have done anything if I hadn't had the acne. As, I mean, it might sound a little bit bad, but I basically went, I really dug deep into my health issues because the acne was so bad. I was just so desperate. And then because of the acne, I found out, okay, something else is going on here. And lots of doctors kind of hinted at PCOS, but nobody really did a full testing or really did anything about it. So I was basically had like a maybe diagnosis for a few years until I really started to dig deep and started to work with naturopathic doctors and herbalists. And we finally got to the root of it and we found that I had PCOS.
So how, what kind of tests do you actually take or go through to be diagnosed with PCOS? Because it sounds like it's something where it sounds like it could be a multitude of other things as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a syndrome, so it has lots of signs and symptoms. Not everybody's the same, but there are underlying factors that are common. But it is also, it's very commonly diagnosed, but it also can be a misdiagnosis, so you really want to be careful with that. But basically, the diagnosis, according to the Rotterdam criteria, is you need to have two of the three of the following. So it's basically irregular or missing periods. Number two, excess androgen levels on your blood test. And then number three is ovarian cysts on ultrasound. So they're basically like a string of pearls on ultrasound. So you need to have two out of the three to be able to be officially diagnosed. That was the criteria. But in regards to testing, symptoms are a big one. So if you have, for instance, androgen symptoms, high androgen symptoms, like the hair loss, acne, or hirsutism, then that's a big sign, as well as, of course, the irregular cycles and ovulation. But some blood tests you really want to look for would be like a hormone panel. So you want to look at FSH, LH, the testosterone levels, progesterone, DHEA, sex hormone binding globulin, a thyroid panel, so a complete thyroid panel, because lots of people aren't really testing all of the thyroid hormones, as well as, of course, the blood sugar level, so insulin, fasting insulin, and glucose. And you also want to do a transvaginal ultrasound. So you definitely want to look at the symptoms. You want to get a complete blood panel test and then the ultrasound to see if you do have that string of pearls on the ovaries.
So interesting. And so you mentioned that you did see some Western medicine doctors. Am I correct?
Yeah, so I basically, at the beginning, I saw a dermatologist for my acne. Nothing helped. I saw my medical practitioner. Nothing helped. Had no idea what to do. And they basically told me to take the pill. So I took that for my acne and then to help with the periods and regulate them. That's usually the first thing that's really prescribed for PCOS. It's the birth control. So that's really, they're doing that to help regulate periods. But it is a little bit counterproductive because it does suppress ovulation. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to ovulate with PCOS. I mean, of course, if you don't want to become pregnant, then that's another story. But it does trigger and enhance insulin resistance, which is a big underlying factor in PCOS. So that's blood sugar imbalances. It's not really, it's not addressing the root cause of it. It's like a Band-Aid effect. And it's linked to lots of other problems as well, even mood disorders, depression. So basically, it's mainly prescribed because it's like a Band-Aid that can help with symptoms when lots of doctors don't really know what to do, so they just give birth control.
So now, since I definitely agree with what you're saying kind of about the Band-Aid effect, it kind of got that picture from you when you were talking about the Western medicine, like they weren't really trying to figure out why your body was doing what it was doing, you know, with the irregular period cycles. You don't want to just regulate it. You want to, you know, get to the root of the problem. So how was holistic medicine able to do that for you?
Yeah, so what I really like about holistic medicine is, like you said, we really look at the root cause and what's going on, why is this happening, right? Because that's going to be a long-term solution instead of just relying on a pill for the rest of your life. And that can also trigger other symptoms and side effects. So then you need to take another drug for that. And then it just keeps going, right? So basically, holistic practices really look at what's going on, why is this happening, and so that it can address it from the root cause. So really looking at, with PCOS, it would be looking at blood sugar balances, reducing inflammation, seeing where the inflammation is coming from, addressing nutritional deficiencies, managing stress, and then, of course, increasing your detoxification pathways so that you can detox excess estrogens and any toxins and all of that, which can really worsen hormonal imbalances and all of the other symptoms that come with PCOS.
So how are you personally able to reverse your symptoms?
So it did take quite a while. For me, it was a long process because I was on and off seeing other practitioners and just digging my head into books and reading everything I could and just being a guinea pig. And I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really have like a plan in place. I didn't have somebody following me like regularly and telling me that this is what we should do. I kind of just threw spaghetti at the wall, let's say, and just saw what stuck. But the biggest changes were definitely addressing my insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalances, as well as really my diet. Diet was, of course, the big one, reducing inflammation. So all of the allergens, the foods that I was reacting to, really wasn't helping. And then my stress as well, that was a big one. And another one would be liver detoxification. So really supporting my liver. And like I said, taking out the foods that are not doing any good for me and that I'm reacting to. And then supporting the elimination pathways. So the bowels, obviously, and then the liver, that's a huge one as well. So it was a combination of all of that, using specific supplements and herbs, as well as managing my lifestyle and my diet. So it's really not about like one thing that's going to change your PCOS. It's really like the holistic model, really incorporating everything together. And then that's really going to help you have a good, just good health in general for the long term, but also reduce those symptoms and even reverse the symptoms. So yeah, it's basically, you have to incorporate everything together. It's not just one thing that's going to change it.
Now, how, since you kind of mentioned diet, did you take like food allergy tests? Like, how are you personally able to determine what foods you should be eliminating or, you know, just kind of like avoiding in your personal diet that really helped you reverse your PCOS?
Yeah, so there are a number of ways you can do it. For me, I was having a lot of digestive problems and a lot of bloating, like significant bloating. And I was seeing a herbalist at this time, and she basically told me that I could do an elimination diet or I could do a test. The elimination diet, basically, you're taking out specific foods that are probably triggers. The most common ones are like wheat, soy, dairy. Some of those ones are the big ones, corn as well. And then any other foods that you might think that you're reacting to, you take those ones out. And you take them out for about 3 to 4 weeks is usually the amount, at least, usually I say usually a month at least. And then you reintroduce them one by one and see if you react to them. So that can be very effective. And it's, for a lot of people too, it's just a way of seeing, okay, my body is reacting to this. I have a physical evidence of this. So it's not like somebody's just telling you that you can't eat gluten and you just don't really believe them. Because if you actually experience the side effects eating gluten, then you're probably going to be more prone to avoid it. But the thing is, it can be time-consuming and annoying to do. So the other option is to do the sensitivity testing. So that's what I did. We tested 200 foods, and that was basically a blood test. And that showed that I was reacting to gluten, dairy, and eggs very severely. And then I had an overgrowth of candida, which would explain all of the bloating. So that was helpful because I knew right away what I could and couldn't eat. and I just cut them out, and we address the candida, and then from there, I sometimes just look at my testing once in a while, but it's also really just paying attention to how I feel and certain foods. I've become very sensitive to toxins and foods and intuitive with my body, so I'm able to tell now if something doesn't sit with me or not. But those are basically the two ways that you would see what foods you're reacting to.
That totally makes sense. Now, after this long journey of, you know, really reversing your PCO symptoms, how did you shift this into your full-time career now that you're so passionate about? And I love following you on Instagram because you can really tell how much you care about your clients and about your work. So I'm really interested to see and hear, like, how you made that shift.
Oh, thank you. Well, I basically, like I said, I found nutrition, grew really passionate, and then I was thinking during my schooling of nutrition, people were telling me you need to find a niche, you need to find a specific demographic, etc. And I was very resistant for very long. I didn't want to like just cater to one group of people. I wanted to help everybody until I realized that, you know, maybe I should give it a shot because everybody is telling me you have to find like a specific group of people and it's just going to be easier and you'll be able to focus on one thing, etc. So I decided to focus on PCOS and give it a go because, of course, I have the experience. I had it myself. I have it myself. And I'm passionate about helping other women with it. And I also think that there is a lack of information and misinformation out there. So I thought it would be a good idea to give it a shot. So I basically started that and started coaching women around that. And now I've really feel very comfortable in it and coaching women around that. I also noticed that when I was going through nutrition school, it was very much focused on nutrition, obviously, but what I realized is that with the disordered eating patterns that I had and going through orthorexia and binge eating, I realized that it wasn't all about nutrition. It was about much more than that. So I started incorporating that into my life, and now I incorporate that. So that's lifestyle and mindset into coaching women. And yeah, so since I started that, I absolutely love it, and I definitely found the niche for me, and who knows what will happen next, if I'll change my route in the next few years, but I definitely love what I do, and I love helping women realize that they actually can do something about PCOS, because that's the thing as well. Lots of women are just so discouraged because they're told they can't have kids, they just have to take a pill for the rest of their life, that they just need to lose weight, etc. And it's very discouraging. So I think that it's very important to be able to educate women and show them that they actually can do something about their health and they're not just like a prisoner to their circumstances. So yeah, I'm definitely very passionate about what I do, and it's so rewarding seeing women make progress and just feel so much better emotionally and physically.
I love that. Now, do you only treat and work with people, I guess, in person, or do you also kind of do like the, I don't want to call it telemedicine, but like virtual health coaching as well?
So I actually do most virtual coaching. It's funny because I actually have more clients from the U.S. than Canada. So, but it's my goal is to travel. I've always wanted to just travel with my job. And so I'm very happy about that. And it works really well. And it's just, I feel like nowadays everything is online and people are just completely okay with it. It's very convenient. They can do it from wherever they are, in their car, at the office, whatever. So I think it's a lot easier for people as well.
Absolutely. And you're able to seek out, like, you know, good or better health coaches or, you know, people who have a niche like you, you know, when you're in another country or across the country.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it also doesn't limit you to your geographical region. Like, I have some people from the U.S. who are in isolated towns, or even in Canada, I had some people in isolated areas, and they don't really have a lot of access to like naturopath or nutritionists. So it's great that they can just go online and find somebody. So really the opportunities and the support is really endless. If they were just, you know, seeing somebody face to face, it would be a little bit more difficult, especially for those kinds of people who aren't in like big cities, right?
Absolutely. And I also like that you opened up another avenue to help people through your podcast called Addicted to Healthy. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I was actually quite surprised about launching it. It's been about a month or so, but I've always been scared of public speaking and all of that, and I never thought I would launch a podcast, but I decided to do it, and I absolutely love it. You probably obviously can relate. It's just so much fun meeting all these people and talking about all these topics and sharing it with the audience, and I've been getting lots of great feedback, and it's a really fun time. So I basically created it in regards to holistic health in general. So just really, it basically was made in terms of, well, I picked the name because it was basically Addicted to Healthy means to me being addicted to living your best life and feeling great physically and emotionally. And so that really encompasses everything that's holistic. So I go and talk about obviously PCOS, but also anything health related, even mindset, emotional things, anxiety, so many different topics that really encompass everything that is holistic. Because as well with PCOS, I think that it's not just about addressing what are you eating, are you exercising, it's also about what you're thinking, are you happy, even like your career, are you happy with your career, your relationships. There's so many different factors to living a happy life, and it's not just about what you're eating, right? So I really want to incorporate all of that into it. So yeah, it's really fun, and I'm loving it so far.
I totally agree. It's like a totally different world and fulfillment. I'm also like, I don't like to public speak, but for some reason, the podcasting just like comes so easy. So I can definitely relate to that. But I wanted to touch a little bit on the emotional factor to PCOS, since you kind of brought it up before, and the importance of support. Because I would imagine that someone who's in their childbearing years and who's told, you know, misinformation like, oh, you can never have kids because of PCOS and different things like that, it's definitely probably a mind, like mind-boggling and just like stressful. And how did you emotionally get through that? And do you have any tips for others who may need, you know, some support getting through it?
Yeah, so I definitely think it's something that's missing a lot, especially from different, like, protocols. Like I said, like, usually we just think it's nutrition and exercise. Like, people are told just lose weight and go on a diet, but that's obviously not addressing anything that's going on. So, yeah, emotional factors, especially with PCOS, due to the inflammation, the blood sugar imbalances, all of that that's going on, can definitely affect your mood, anxiety, depression. These are very, very common in PCOS. I see a lot of women ask, like, is it normal that I'm depressed or that I'm so stressed out that I have panic attacks? And they have no idea that it's actually linked with their hormones and everything else that's going on. So they're not crazy. That's how I felt for a while, too. Always been a very stressed out person, had panic attacks. It's something that I always have to manage. But with my nutrition and my lifestyle changes and just being aware, I was basically really depressed at one point, and it's just very difficult when you think that you're alone in it as well, and you don't have support, and you don't know what's going on. So very much the diet is a huge factor, of course, especially for blood sugar balancing, reducing inflammation, getting the proper nutrients for your brain health, for egg quality, for everything. So the diet is going to be huge. Exercise also, that's really important. But then also it was really becoming aware of what was going on and changing my mindset, which does not work overnight. I mean, it's a work in progress. So I've been really looking into a lot of books and podcasts and everything talking about mindset and how the mind is really so connected to the body and how it can really determine how you're feeling and how your life is going, what you're manifesting into your life. Etc. So I think it's really important as well to find a support group, whether that be like friends, family, even online, whatever. If you find a group that you can regularly have there for support, it's really important to know that you're not alone, because like we mentioned, you're a lot of the times you're told negative things, like you can't have a baby, you can't lose the weight very easily, etc. It's just a lot of negativity, and I think that's really important to see the other side of PCOS and people who have been able to reverse their symptoms, because a lot of women don't know that they can reverse their symptoms, but the proof is out there. I'm also proof of it, so it's really being around positivity and just surrounding yourself with people who actually are making choices to better themselves and, who are really can support you when you do need it.
That's a really great advice. And you also kind of mentioned, you know, doing your own research as well. Are there any resources that you would recommend? I guess like any podcasts or books or just anything really, if someone wanted to learn more about PCOS?
Yeah, for sure. There's so many. I really like a few books. So 8 Steps to Reverse Your PCOS. I think it's a great book. Another one would be Taking Charge of Your Fertility. So that really goes over fertility and hormones and all of that in general. But it also talks about PCOS. So it like talks about birth control and then pregnancy, reproductive health. What else? I also like PCOS Diva. She has a blog and a podcast. I really like Period Repair Manual. So that's also a book. Really great information about PCOS and also other information about periods in general, how to balance your hormones and all of that. Those are probably my top 3 books. And podcasts, yeah, I really like PCOS Diva. It's a good one as well. And then The 8 Steps to Reverse Your PCOS by Fiona. She also has a blog as well. So you can also put that in the blog, in the show links, if you're interested for your viewers. I can give you the names of them.
That would be perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to get your help, with their PCOS, how would they contact you? Where can they find you on social media? Pimp yourself out.
Yeah, so I have, of course, my podcast, Addicted to Healthy. Then I have my Instagram, so Laurence.Inez, on Instagram. I also have a PCOS Facebook group, so that's a private group, but you can join, of course. And I do weekly lives in there, so lots of good information in there, lots of support. We're about 300 members right now, so it's a great atmosphere and environment. And obviously, you can ask any questions, and I'm super happy to find any answers for you as well as any of the other members. Otherwise, I do also have my website, laurenceinez.com. So I do have one-on-one coaching, usually 6 weeks or 12-week one-on-one coaching. And I also have a brand new online self-paced course that's coming out next month. And that's going to be going through really understanding PCOS, the main focus areas, like we mentioned, blood sugar, inflammation, gut health, detoxification, understanding all of that and why it's important with PCOS, as well as guides, resources, recipes, practical tips and exercises. That's going to be coming out soon as well. So I'm very excited for that, as well as my one-on-one coaching that's available throughout.
Amazing. I love it. So one more question for you. And I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, man. I would say probably mango.
Such a good pick.
What's your favorite?
I really am like loving this lavender one lately, or blueberry.
Oh my goodness, lavender, I think, would probably be my new favorite because I'm obsessed with everything lavender.
It's just so good.
What brand is that?
That would be Kevita. K-E-V-I-T-A. Okay. I don't know if they have it in Canada. Do they?
I haven't heard that, no. No, we don't have the same things as you, unfortunately.
Bummer. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.